morning. There will be a Baptist Women's Workshop on March the 1st from 9:30 to 12 noon in Tilbury, Ontario. There's a couple of us going. If anybody's interested in coming, it's going to be a very worthwhile workshop. It's called Reflections Inspiring Women, and the cost is only $20. So there are still registration forms at the back. So if you're interested, the deadline for registering is coming up. It's February 17th. Then there's also a Baptist Men's Conference on February 22nd, and that's at Banwell Community Church at 8:30 in the morning. And the speaker is Dr. Chris Crocker, and the topic is Standing Firm. So that would be a worthwhile event to go to. Lunch is included, and the cost for that is $25. So if you're interested in attending, you can speak to Kevin and let him know. And then on Wednesday night, our Bible study will be meeting at 7, and we're going to continue our study of the parables of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at the parable of the wise and foolish virgins this week. And there are handout sheets on the podium. So if you can come out, we'd love to have you join us. But even if you can't make it out, help yourself to a handout sheet. And I think that's all the announcements at this time. Let's go to the throne of God in prayer this morning together as a church family. God, our Father, we thank you so much that we can come before you, that you are always available to listen to our prayers, regardless of what the situation is and what we need. Lord, we know that you are there to hear us, to support us, to give us strength, to give us peace, to encourage us. Lord, we just thank you that you are everything that we need. And so, Lord, we just ask that you continue to prompt us to call out to you in times of praise and in times of need as well. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can gather here to worship together, and we know where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. So we just thank you so much that your spirit is here with us. And Lord, we just ask that you speak to us through the words that we sing, through the scripture that's read, through the words that are preached, Lord. And we just ask that you be with James as he brings a message for us this morning. Lord, we pray for concerns with our own church family. And Lord, you know the needs in our congregation and what's happening in our families. And Lord, we just need to turn these things, our cares and concerns to you. And Lord, we just especially pray for Mary, who's in hospital last night. So Lord, we just pray that you'll be with the doctors as she seeks medical attention. And Lord, we just ask for your care over her. And for Karen, as she undergoes surgery this week for her knee. So, Lord, we just pray that you will be with the doctor for that surgery and give Karen peace as she undergoes the second knee operation. So be with her this week, Lord. We just thank you, because even when we have things in our church family that need prayer, you know the needs, even if we don't know them, Lord. And we just know that we can call out to you. Lord, give us strength to deal with our circumstances and our problems. And Lord, just help us to remember that the things that we face in this world are only temporal. And what we need to keep our focus on is the eternal things and what you promised us and the hope of being with you someday. So Lord, we just thank you for that assurance. Lord, we just pray for our church and this community, and we ask that you give us opportunities to reach out and minister to people within our community. And Lord, we just thank you for this community that we're in. We thank you for the church and the beacon that it is. Lord, we pray for the teachers at Marlborough School that we hope to partner with them, and as we did in the fall with the barbecue. So Lord, give us those opportunities to reach out in tangible ways in order to give out your message of hope and salvation. Lord, we thank you for the leaders in our city and our country. We pray for the election that's coming up. And Lord, we just ask that you would bring leaders into power that are the ones that are godly, that make godly decisions, that seek after your will. And Lord, help us to be discerning when we're casting our vote. Lord, we sometimes think that it doesn't matter, but Lord, each one matters. And we just ask that your will be done in this election. Lord, we just thank you for the freedoms that we do have in our country. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to keep that as something that we have. And we just pray for the turmoil that we see in our world, Lord. We ask that we know that your hand is on everything, but we just, Lord, sometimes question why things happen and why bad things happen. But Lord, we know that you're in control. So give us that hope and that vision to see your hand at work in our world, even through the things that are not pleasant. And Lord, we pray for our missionaries in other countries, and we pray that you will encourage them, help them to continue to serve you in the places that they're at. And we just ask for your protection against persecution. Lord, we just know that our other Baptist churches are worshiping this morning, and we just pray that your spirit will be felt there. And we ask again for your spirit to be felt here as we continue in our worship service this morning. And I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Through 47. And I'm reading from the New International Version. The Fellowship of Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading.
Everyone. Good morning again. I don't want to believe that the cold is catching up with any of us. If that's true, we have a warm atmosphere here. So the heat was turned on. So I know nobody's feeling cold inside here. Hallelujah. And I'm sure because you're sitting next to somebody who is also having warmth in their spirit, so you are going to feel warm. So this morning, we are blessed by God's grace to be reading a scripture that speaks to who we are as Ambassador Baptist Church. You know, the interesting thing is that I never took note of the fact that Acts chapter 2 was a scripture that was key for us as a church. I did read it while I was coming, but interestingly, it never, you know, kind of registered in my mind that what I was reading was Acts chapter 2. I saw the vision statement, and I just read it as the vision statement. But then in the course of this week, after I had sent in the text and the title to Don, and then I just walked to the board at the back, and I saw some papers pinned up there. So I said, okay, let me have myself one so that I could just read, just from a curious mind. And then I saw, oh, Ambassador Baptist Church vision statement. And then I said, oh, that looks very much like what I saw in the directory that was sent to me. And then it registered that our church's major scripture happens to be Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And so for me, it's a privilege this morning that we'll be exploring God's wisdom again, which I know you and I, you know very well. Acts chapter 2 is one of the most read scripture, one of the most told stories, and I believe this morning it will speak to us by the grace of God. Can we bow down our heads together? Our eternal Father, we have come as a people grateful for who you are, for what you have done and what you will yet do, and what you are doing at the moment in our individual lives and in our collective lives as Ambassador Baptist Church. We ask that this morning you will breathe upon your words in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And let it be that at the end of this worship experience, we would step out of here having had an encounter with you and with your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, this morning, I'll be talking about a church pot flourishing together in Christ. A church pot flourishing together in Christ. As I began to think about a pot, the closest one that comes to mind is that Windsor is one of the port cities. And we have Port Windsor. And I was looking at their website, and it says Port Windsor is a steward of prosperity. We are the advocate and the catalyst for our marine transportation resources as an engine for economic and social prosperity and environmental protection and security. So as social stewards, they say, we provide the leadership, commitment to promote the common marine, economic, and social interest of both customers and the community. For economic stewardship, they said, we are a partner and the essential link between government, industry, and customers, and serve as the catalyst that provide awareness, opportunity, and remove barriers from barriers to success. As environmental stewards, they said that we ensure the safe and sustainable development of our marine transportation resources. So that is what is on the website of Port Windsor. So having this kind of mindset, the church as a port or a church port, a place where we can flourish together in Christ. What that simply says to us is that if we look at the concept of a port is a place where ships may ride secure from storms, a haven, a harbor, or a harbor town or city where ships may take on or discharge their cargoes. And so if we look at this with our Christian walk, we are using a metaphor here, and we are using a metaphor that is very close to us. Very similar to Jesus in his parables, he would look at things that are very close, relatable, and then he would use that to teach certain truths so that the people could grasp what he was saying, that they were not far-fetched just in heaven, but right here on earth, there are things that we can look at and speaks to us, who we are, what God wants from us, and how he would want us to operate. So, invariably, the church is expected to be a safe harbor where believers gather, where believers grow, where believers flourish together in Christ. In fact, as ambassador, we say that we are interested in seeing people grow in authentic Christianity, authentic followers of Christ. We want people to grow into authentic followers of Christ. In essence, we don't want anything superficial. We trust God that our relationship with Christ will be genuine. Our relationship with one another will form a safe place that we can flourish. So can I announce to you, if God has guided you to be a part of this family, you are in a safe place. Can you help me look at your neighbor? You are looking too serious this morning. Thank you. I like people smiling. Can you help me look at your neighbor with a smile this morning? Sell the person and say you are in a safe place. Oh, the way you're saying it is as if you are not sure. Can you help me be their prophet and their prophetess this morning? Say you are in a safe place. So, the intent that God has put us together is to be his port here in Windsor. God wants people to be able to navigate life as they are a part of this family, shielded from the storms of life, being able to be stable, stabilized, established, strengthened, encouraged, energized, pour into his goodness. That's what God wants. And that's who we are. That's who we will continue to be as Ambassador Baptist Church, collectively and individually. That is our decision. Some years ago, as I was growing up, when we had the privilege of going into the Christian Union to fellowship, or what we call the Nigerian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, we also have the IFES, which is the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. We have the Canadian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, and that's the kind of setting I grew up in. And when you become a part of that body and they welcome you, they sing this song. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They have taken me into their arms, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. And I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They have taken me into their arms, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. So as we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, you see a picture of a great family, a loving family, a united family, a warm family, and an authentic family under God. God wants us as a people to be that kind of family. As individual family units, as individual persons, but much more as a church. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So if we're going to flourish together, we must be people who are students of God's word. And do you know that is one thing I have come to enjoy and see at Ambassador Baptist Church, especially when you're privileged to find yourself, you know, physically for the first time. I was at the Bible study this last Wednesday, and it was wonderful. For those who are there, they can tell you. And then each time I had listened to the announcements, when I listened to the audio from the church, you know, there was nothing that could describe the opportunity of enjoying that fellowship physically. So, which means that if you are there and you are not taking advantage of the Bible study, when you can, then you are cheating yourself. You're not just cheating yourself alone, you are cheating the rest of us. You know why? Can you imagine that your hands have problem? Would the rest of the body say we are on our own? You know, that it's not bothering us. Can you have a problem on your head and the rest of the body doesn't feel it? For some of us who have been privileged, I don't know the other English I'll use, we'll call it boil. If you have one of those just small, little one somewhere on your buttock, you will pray when you are sitting down. If you're somebody who speaks in tongues, you probably will speak in tongues because the pain goes right in the brain. Amen. And then if it's unfortunate that you have it somewhere there when you have to go to the toilet, oh, Jesus. You will now be binding and losing every devil available. Because it's painful. But it's little. And that's to tell you that every one of us matter. If you are not studying the Word of God, you are not helping this family. I said, well, I'm not planning to be a pastor. You are the one who is a pastor. So why should I spend my time to read God's Word? What? Why? Why? I'm not going to a Bible college and I'm not planning to start up a church. God expects you and I to feed on His words. And the disciples showed us the pattern that if we're going to be Christ ambassadors, who we are, then we have to be students of the Word of God. You know why? The more of the Word of God that you and I study and know, the more we are strengthened, the more we are enriched spiritually, and ultimately the more we can fight and navigate through the battles of life. David would say, this is how he describes God's Word. He said, your Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. In essence, God's Word enlightens us and illuminates our darkness. So, would it be wise for me to choose to remain in darkness? So, each time I don't study God's Word, each time you don't study God's Word, each time we don't take time to study God's Word, what you are doing is that unconsciously you are allowing darkness, which signifies the devil and his host, to rule and reign. And so we could pray, oh Lord, deliver us from every evil, deliver us from the devil and all his manifestation. And yet we're not studying God's Word. So what are we doing? Unconsciously, we are allowing the reins of the devil because darkness rules. So the Bible said they continued in the apostles' teaching. So it's important to be rooted and grounded in sound doctrine. And even before I came, each time I listened to people preach from here, I discovered as much as possible, God's Word was being preached. Rich ones. There are places you go, God's Word is watered down. But you have the authentic opportunity to hold the Scriptures for yourself. Read the Scriptures for yourself. And we have avenues. So please, for any reason, if you're not going to be around on Wednesday or you're going to be around on Wednesday, take the Bible study materials. A whole lot of work has been put into that prayerfully, so make it something that you can feed on. Pick it up, study it, and try, if you can, to be around. Two, every time we preach here or teach God's Word here, it's not because James wants to impress somebody. No. It's because God wants us to feed on His Word every time we gather so that when we go back, we are able to apply those words to our lives, grow spiritually, grow physically, and in every area it addresses, we are strengthened together. And that's why time is taken to make sure that these words are recorded. So on the church website, we have the audio, which you can download anytime from Tuesday. And what's the idea? It's not because you have listened to it here alone. It's so that you can take time and go over it again. You can pause the James that is talking in that download and rewind it again and listen until it is incarnated in you. And then it's no longer James preaching. It's about what God has said to you. And that's what Paul enjoyed. He said, I love the Berean Christians. I also love the Thessalonian Christians. He said, but the Thessalonian Christian, they receive God's word from us as though God was speaking directly, audibly, face to face to them. But he said, I prefer the Berean Christians. He said, you know what they did? One, they received the word as though God was speaking audibly to them. But secondly, they went back home to check the scripture to see if everything Paul was saying was so. And Paul said, I love them. And so as a church, I don't just want us to become a people who would learn to listen alone as though God was speaking to us through whoever comes to this pulpit or whoever takes the Bible study, I want us to become people that when we get back home through the week, we go back to the recordings, we, you know, download them, and we feed on it until we are sure that this indeed is God's word for me. Two, we are able to share it with other people. How many of us have taken time to tell our friends, oh, I got blessed by God's word in church today, or last week, or on Sunday? I can download it for you, or you can go on our church website and just download it and listen for yourself. I'm sure you will enjoy it. That's a way of ministering. That's a way of sharing the good news. How can you have good stuff come to you and you don't talk about it? Have you ever gone in for a pizza? The other day we had pizza night. And you love the pizza. Would you not tell other people around you? In fact, you will be a private advertiser unpaid for that pizza place. Because you enjoyed it. That's for those who eat pizza. For those who don't eat pizza, just imagine that it's anything you enjoy. So don't worry. The same thing is for the God's word. So they did this daily. Secondly, the Bible said the fellowship with one another. So they understood, just like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 would say, he said, not forsaking the gathering together of one another. It has become the culture of some people. And after the COVID, some people have become the church by themselves. They know the scripture more than even Jesus. Say, no. I don't need to be where people are. I can worship God by myself. In fact, the Bible says, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Good. It's great that you know the scriptures. But go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Because there were people just like you who sounded the same way then, he said, do not be like those people who had a culture of not gathering with others. So Christianity is designed to be a community way of life. God wants us to be relational people. Godly, healthy, relational people. And that's where the issue of fellowship comes in. The Bible said they had fellowship together. They gathered. And so we will be people who gather on Sundays like this. We will have opportunities to gather in small groups. And that's why, for example, when the advert comes in and we're talking about the men's conference that will take place in one of our sister churches, or we talk about the women's program, we're saying it's a means of fellowship. So let's go and be a part of other people. I say this to people, if Jesus Christ never wanted us to fellowship together, the day you gave your life to Christ, you will get a VIP rapture. Yours only you. You just go. But you know, in God's wisdom, even though you gave your life to Christ, even he still left you here. Because he wants us to fellowship and walk together with other people. So that's why you're not getting a private rapture now until when there is a collective rapture. Have you noticed that? Except for those who might go to sleep before then. Because the Bible says those who die in Christ, they are just going to sleep. So we don't mourn over them like people who don't have faith. Okay, so quickly, he said they spend time in breaking the bread and prayer. So we take communion. We did that last week. Communion. It's part of it. In my own way, I say to people, anything that makes you run away from the communion, you should check your life. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you said you have Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and the Bible says, yes, before you come to the communion table, you should search yourself so that you don't eat with condemnation. In essence, you should watch, check your life if it's okay. Now, so if constantly you avoid the table because your life is not okay, how are you going to make heaven? When would you step up and say to yourself, if I need to clean up, I'll clean up and be a part of this fellowship? Because ultimately, the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm not going to eat this with you again until when you meet me there. And by God's grace, we will make it. Can somebody say an amen to that? We're not leaving anybody behind. By his grace. Not by our works, but his grace. So, he said, they break bread. They broke bread constantly. And then prayer. We need to be a praying people. It's very important. And I was sharing with one of our brothers this morning. I said, prayers does not essentially say you can only pray to God when you are on your knees. As you're sitting, as you're walking, whatever you're doing, you can just talk to him. He's described as our Father who is in heaven. He's our Father. Now, can you imagine the Prime Minister, and if he has a child, as compared to you and me trying to relate with him? Now, you need to pass through some protocol before you can get through to him. Is that not so? But the child can walk through and just go, Daddy, I need to see you. Because he's his child. And so that's the same way God wants us to be relaxed in prayer. Yes, for some people, and I can say this, for many of us of African descent, we love energetic and gymnastic kind of prayer. Amen. Because you want to feel the prayer. So you have to do some exercise. Amen. Huh? If you don't move, amen. And we have some charismatic Pentecostal people, they love that. It's good. It's good for your health. And it's also good for your spirit. You are able to shake it up. Ha, yes, Lord. And even if you're fighting the devil, you can hit the devil. You know, it's good. But then that doesn't mean that's the only way you can pray. You can also be calm, quiet, and still pray. The issue is pray anyway. Anyone that works for you, as long as it's mixed with faith and your Father knows who you are. It's like having 3-4 kids. Not all of them behave the same way. So some of us will shake our heads while I pray. Some of us will shake our body while I pray. And some of us will sit still while I pray. What matters is you are talking with your heavenly Father. And that's the kind of people we must be. People who can communicate with God and pray with one another in faith. Then finally, the Bible tells us they had all things in common. So, let's break that. It means they were united. So if we're going to be strong and we are going to be a safe haven, then we have to be people who walk in unity. People who walk in unity don't tear each other down. People who walk in unity do not backbite each other. People who walk in unity do not discourage one another. They strengthen one another. They inspire one another. They spur one another. They help and assist one another in vision, in goals, in pursuit, even in our relationship. We encourage each other. That's what we do. In my little life as being a minister, I've seen church people fight each other. And then sometimes, blessed be the touch that mourn. When people sing, you think Jesus has come. And then they get into some meeting, and then somebody's carrying chair, and you're asking, is that the Holy Ghost? And somebody's using harsh words. And then you're wondering, where is Jesus Christ? Say, Jesus, wait, let me deal with him. As a family, we may not all be on the same page at the same time. We may not have the same temperament, but we have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Jesus. We have only one heaven to go. We have one family here, which is Ambassador Baptist Church. And that means we must be of one mind. Be on the same page. The Bible says not just that they were in one mind, they were generous towards each other. Let's be generous with our time. Let's be generous with our expertise. Let's be generous with our words. The Bible says soft words pacifies anger. We are able to help one another. The Bible says, let your words be mingled with grace. Let it be salted with graciousness, so that everyone will listen to you, they are blessed. Don't let your mouth be like a razor that cuts people. Sometimes for husbands, for wives, some of them have a special talent of cutting with a razor tongue. Some people don't care how other people feel. They just speak it anyway. And they feel that it's okay. No, it's not okay. God has put you into the lives of others so that you can be a blessing. Those were the things that the church of the New Testament did. And the Bible said something happened. Number one, there were miracles. There were signs. God manifested himself. Number two, the Bible said many were added to the church as are being saved. And that means as we live together, as we form a safe haven, as our port, our church port becomes a place where people can come, thrive, flourish, and grow, knowing that we are not having plastic kind of smiles, but authentic, genuine love for one another, for God's Spirit, for His Word, generous in supporting one another, generous in supporting the work of God. Being able to give, and not out of duress, no. If you are committed to a family, nobody stresses you, nobody pressures you to give to that family. So, we don't need to quote 10 scriptures that say you need to give your offerings or give your tithe. No, it should come. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So, if you're not going to be a cheerful giver, don't give. Because it doesn't benefit you. I tell people, the church doesn't reject money. I've never heard of church really doing that. You give an offering and they say, sorry, we don't like your face, so take your money back. If a pastor says that, some membership will say, pastor, please. What did you say? So nobody's going to reject your money anyway, but God wants you not to be motivated by pressure, but to be motivated by love. That because this is my family, this is God's family that I belong, I will part with my finance as a way to support. I will see that God's word is resourced, God's work is encouraged. And in the same vein, they had a mindset. What was that mindset? They will be a blessing to one another. You know, sometimes we are so much spiritual that we forget that we are human here on earth. And that means that if my brother or my sister is going through something in the church, it must be my burden as well. Jesus said we should bear each other's burden. So if somebody is going through some stress, it's not just about them. It's about our family. So we pray about it. We speak to them. We encourage them. If somebody is going wrong as well, the Bible says out of meekness and love, we correct them. Why? Because we don't cast away. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we are Christ ambassadors. Don't worry, we are going to get there. One of these days, we're going to talk about that. We don't condemn people. We have a ministry of reconciliation. And you know where best to start? Within ourselves. And that's what the disciples did. And God added to them. And so I believe that as we take this vision statement, which is ours as a church, can we read that vision statement? Let me find it out so that I'll just read it to those who may not have noticed. Okay. It says, following in the steps of Jesus and living out his instructions daily as we embrace the ABCs of the early church. Actively seeking the will of God through daily prayers and worship. Biblically informed by reading, preaching, teaching and studying God's word, connecting in grace with each other in the church and all the community, supporting one another by providing guidance, care, and assistance in love. They, in our quoted Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Growing authentic followers of Jesus. Thank you. I believe that if we go this week, as we go, let's reflect on this. Let's go to our site, pick this message, and kind of break it down and see where you fit in. Because we are a family. And this church is God's port, a place that is expected to be a safe haven as people navigate through the different ships of life. Friendship, relationship, stewardship, whatever ship that you find yourself at the moment. We are here together and we will succeed together by the grace of God. Our families will flourish. Our goals, our visions individually and collectively will prosper. God will make us a light to shine even in Windsor here and beyond. But one thing will remain. We have been brought together by the blood of Jesus, by his salvific plan. We are not here by mistake. We are here by divine providence. And I trust that as we do all that we can in our human capacity through his spirit, we will see his miracles, his signs, his wonders. We will see his additions to our community. Let's bow down our heads as we pray this morning. Lord, we are grateful that your word is alive. We ask, O God, help us to be the New Testament church in Windsor at this moment. Help us to be the church port where together people can come and we flourish to the honor of your name. People who are students of the Bible, hungry, spend time to study God's word. People who will pray, men and women of prayer, young and old. People who will be willing to commune with you. People who will come together to the Lord's table, having no guile in their hearts. A place where people will be generous. Generous towards your work, mission, and evangelism. Generous towards one another. In our actions, in our resources, in our words. In our ways of relating with one another. Interceding for one another. Standing as support for one another. Living a life in a community of love. Lord, this is our desire. That we will fellowship online, on sight, but our bonds together will be strong. This is what we pray, that we are your ambassadors. Not just in Canada, not just in Windsor, but to the world. This is who we are individually, and this is who we are as a church. Thank you, because we know you'll help us to fulfill this, your mandate, your vision for our church. Thank you, Father. As we go this week, let it be a blessed one for us. And help us to navigate through. In Jesus' name, amen.